This is the reading for July 15th. Proverbs chapter 4. My children, listen to your father's teaching. Pay attention so you will understand. What I am telling you is good, so do not forget what I teach you. When I was a young boy in my father's house, and like an only child to my mother, my father taught me and said, "Hold on to my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom and understanding. Don't forget or ignore my words. Hold on to wisdom and it will take care of you. Love it and it will keep you safe. Wisdom is the most important thing, so get wisdom. If it costs everything you have, get understanding. Treasure wisdom and it will make you great. Hold on to it and it will bring you honor. It will be like flowers in your hair and like a beautiful crown on your head. My child, listen and accept what I say. Then you will have a long life. I am guiding you in the way of wisdom, and I am leading you on the right path. Nothing will hold you back. You will not be overwhelmed. Always remember what you have been taught, and don't let go of it. Keep all that you have learned. It is the most important thing in life. Don't follow the ways of the wicked. Don't do what evil people do. Avoid their ways and don't follow them. Stay away from them and keep on going because they cannot sleep until they do evil. They cannot rest until they harm someone. They feast on wickedness and cruelty as if they were eating bread and drinking wine. The way of the good person is like the light of dawn, growing brighter and brighter until full daylight. But the wicked walk around in the dark. They can't even see what makes them stumble. My child, pay attention to my words. Listen closely to what I say. Don't ever forget my words. Keep them always in mind. They are the key to life for those who find them. They bring health to the whole body. Be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. Don't use your mouth to tell lies. Don't ever say things that are not true. Keep your eyes focused on what is right and look straight ahead to what is good. Be careful what you do and always do what is right. Don't turn off the road of goodness. Keep away from evil paths. 2 Chronicles chapter 19. Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, came back safely to his palace in Jerusalem. Jehu, son of Hanani, a seer, went out to meet him and said to the king, "Why did you help evil people? Why do you love those who hate the Lord? That is the reason the Lord is angry with you, but there is some good in you. You took the Asherah idols out of this country, and you have tried to obey God." Jehoshaphat lived in Jerusalem. He went out again to be with the people from Beersheba to the mountains of Ephraim, and he turned them back to the Lord, the God of their ancestors. Jehoshaphat appointed judges in all the land, in each of the strong walled cities of Judah. Jehoshaphat said to them, "Watch what you do, because you are not judging for people but for the Lord. He will be with you when you make a decision. Now let each of you fear the Lord. Watch what you do, because the Lord our God wants people to be fair. He wants all people to be treated the same, and he doesn't want decisions influenced by money." And in Jerusalem, Jehoshaphat appointed some of the Levites, priests, and leaders of Israelite families to be judges. They were to decide cases about the law of the Lord and settle problems between the people who lived in Jerusalem. Jehoshaphat commanded them, "You must always serve the Lord completely, and you must fear him. Your people living in the cities will bring you cases about killing, about the teachings, commands, rules, or some other law. In all these cases, you must warn the people not to sin against the Lord. If you don't, he will be angry with you and your people. But if you warn them, you won't be guilty. Amariah, the leading priest, will be over you in all cases about the Lord. Zebediah, son of Ishmael, a leader in the tribe of Judah, will be over you in all cases about the king. Also, the Levites will serve as officers for you. Have courage. May the Lord be with those who do what is right." 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Later, the Moabites, Ammonites, and some Menuites came to start a war with Jehoshaphat. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, "A large army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. They are already in Hazazon Tamar." Hazazon Tamar is also called En-Gedi. Jehoshaphat was afraid, so he decided to ask the Lord what to do. He announced that no one in Judah should eat during this special time of prayer to God. the people of Judah came together to ask the Lord for help. They came from every town in Judah. The people of Judah and Jerusalem met in front of the new courtyard in the temple of the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood up and he said, "Lord God of our ancestors, you are the God in heaven. You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. You have power and strength, so no one can stand against you. Our God, you forced out the people who lived in this land as your people Israel moved in, and you gave this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham. They lived in this land and built a temple for you. They said, 'If trouble comes upon us, or war, punishment, sickness, or hunger, we will stand before you and before this temple you have chosen to be worshipped. We will cry out to you when we are in trouble, then you will hear and save us.' But now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Edom. You wouldn't let the Israelites enter their lands when the Israelites came from Egypt. So the Israelites turned away and did not destroy them. But see how they repay us for not destroying them? They have come to force us out of your land, which you gave us as our own. Our God, punish those people. We have no power against this large army that is attacking us. We don't know what to do, so we look to you for help." All the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their babies, wives, and children. Then the Spirit of the Lord entered Jehaziel. Jehaziel was Zechariah's son. Zechariah was Benaiah's son. Benaiah was Jeiel's son. And Jeiel was Mattaniah's son. Jehaziel, a Levite and a descendant of Asaph, stood up in the meeting. He said, "Listen to me, King Jehoshaphat, and all you people living in Judah and Jerusalem. The Lord says this to you, don't be afraid or discouraged because of this large army. The battle is not your battle, it is God's. Tomorrow go down there and fight those people. They will come up through the pass of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the ravine that leads to the desert of Jeruel. You won't need to fight in this battle. Just stand strong in your places and you will see the Lord save you. Judah and Jerusalem, don't be afraid or discouraged because the Lord is with you. So go out against those people tomorrow." Jehoshaphat bowed face down on the ground. All the people of Judah and Jerusalem bowed down before the Lord and worshipped him. Then some Levites from the Kohathite and Korahite people stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with very loud voices. Jehoshaphat's army went out into the desert of Tekoa early in the morning. As they were starting out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, people of Judah and Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will stand strong. Have faith in his prophets, and you will succeed." Jehoshaphat listened to the people's advice. Then he chose men to be singers to the Lord, to praise him, because he is holy and wonderful. As they marched in front of the army, they said, "Thank the Lord, because his love continues forever." As they began to sing and praise God, the Lord set ambushes for the people of Ammon, Moab, and Edom, who had come to attack Judah. And they were defeated. The Ammonites and Moabites attacked the Edomites, destroying them completely. After they had killed the Edomites, they killed each other. When the men from Judah came to a place where they could see the desert, they looked at the enemy's large army. But they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his army came to take their valuables, they found many supplies, much clothing, and other valuable things. There was more than they could carry away. There was so much, it took 3 days to gather it all. On the fourth day, Jehoshaphat and his army met in the valley of Baraka and praised the Lord. That is why that place has been called the Valley of Baraka to this day. Then Jehoshaphat led all the men from Judah and Jerusalem back to Jerusalem. The Lord had made them happy because their enemies were defeated. They entered Jerusalem with harps, lyres, and trumpets and went to the temple of the Lord. When all the kingdoms of the lands around them heard how the Lord had fought Israel's enemies, they feared God. So Jehoshaphat's kingdom was not at war, as God gave him peace from all the countries around him. Jehoshaphat ruled over the country of Judah. He was 35 years old when he became king, and he ruled in Jerusalem for 25 years. His mother's name was Azubah, daughter of Shilhai. Jehoshaphat was good like his father Asa, and he did what the Lord said was right. But the places where gods were worshipped were not removed, and the people did not really want to follow the God of their ancestors. The other things Jehoshaphat did as king, from the beginning to the end, are written in the records of Jehu, son of Hanani, which are in the book of the kings of Israel. Later, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, made a treaty with Ahaziah, king of Israel, which was a wrong thing to do. Jehoshaphat agreed with Ahaziah to build trading ships, which they built in the town of Ezion-Geber. Then Eleazar, son of Dodavahu, from the town of Marishah, spoke against Jehoshaphat. He said, "Jehoshaphat, because you joined with Ahaziah, the Lord will destroy what you have made." The ships were wrecked, so they could not sail out to trade.
Chapter 2.
Then, 14 years later, I went to Jerusalem again with Barnabas. I also took Titus along. I went in response to a revelation from God. I showed them the way I spread the good news among people who are not Jewish. I did this in a private meeting with those recognized as important people to see whether all my efforts had been wasted. Titus was with me, and although he is Greek, no one forced him to be circumcised. False Christians were brought in. They slipped in as spies to learn about the freedom Christ Jesus gives us. They hoped to find a way to control us, but we did not give in to them for a moment, so that the truth of the good news would always be yours. Those who were recognized as important people didn't add a single thing to my message. What sort of people they were makes no difference to me, since God doesn't play favorites. In fact, they saw that I had been entrusted with telling the good news to people who are not circumcised, as Peter had been entrusted to tell it to those who are circumcised. The one who made Peter an apostle to Jewish people also made me an apostle to people who are not Jewish. James, Cephas, and John, who are recognized as the most important people, acknowledged that God had given me this special gift. So they shook hands with Barnabas and me, agreeing to be our partners. It was understood that we would work among the people who are not Jewish, and that they would work among Jewish people. The only thing they asked us to do was to remember the poor, the very thing which I was eager to do. When Cephas came to Antioch, I had to openly oppose him because he was completely wrong. He ate with people who were not Jewish until some men James had sent from Jerusalem arrived. Then Cephas drew back and would not associate with people who were not Jewish. He was afraid of those who insisted that circumcision was necessary. The other Jewish Christians also joined him in this hypocrisy. Even Barnabas was swept along with him. But I saw that they were not properly following the truth of the good news. So I told Cephas in front of everyone, "You are Jewish, but you live like a person who is not Jewish. So how can you insist that people who are not Jewish must live like Jews? We are Jewish by birth, not sinners from other nations. Yet we know that people don't receive God's approval because of their own efforts to live according to a set of standards, but only by believing in Jesus Christ. So we also believed in Jesus Christ in order to receive God's approval because of faith in Christ and not because of our own efforts. People won't receive God's approval because of their own efforts to live according to a set of standards. If we, the same people who are searching for God's approval in Christ, are still sinners, does that mean that Christ encourages us to sin? That's unthinkable. If I rebuild something that I've torn down, I admit that I was wrong to tear it down. When I tried to obey the law's standards, those laws killed me. As a result, I live in a relationship with God. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live, I live by believing in God's Son, who loved me and took the punishment for my sins. I don't reject God's kindness. If we receive God's approval by obeying laws, then Christ's death was pointless.